Hi, everyone. Welcome back. I'm Sonika Garcia.
And I'm Brad Davidson, and this is Breaking the Code,
a podcast series addressing misconceptions related to the discipline of behavioral science. We hope to arm you, our listeners, with the tools that you need to make sense of behavioral science and to help you apply it to your work as communication extraordinaires. Welcome to episode 18. I cannot believe it's
crazy,
episode
right?
18. That's awesome. And we just reached a little over 2,000 downloads, which I think is so exciting.
I'm very proud of our baby. Yes, it's growing up before our eyes. So
yeah. So before we get in, like, thank you to everyone who downloads and listens to our episodes. Not to sound like cliche, but you guys are what makes, like, fuels us to keep on going. So
yeah, absolutely. No, thank you all. And thank you for those of you who've reached out to us or talked to us or given us ideas for areas of interest. It's hard to think of it as a dialogue because we're busy talking at people, right? It's not a conversation in real time, but it is a conversation. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Okay, so today's episode, we are going to be talking about lying. And we know it's wrong. We've been taught from a young age that lying is not the right thing to do. But it turns out that there's actually many different ways to lie and different situations where different kinds of lies are used more than others. But basically, there's more to lying. It's not just telling an untruth. So we thought this was a really interesting topic given our last episode or two episodes ago where we talked about gaslighting. The word intention really came up a lot in, you know, what is someone's intention? And we felt like within lying, there's also an intentional factor. So we want to dig a little deeper into that. So again, this particular kind of lying that we're going to be focusing on today is a term called paltering. And basically what that means, it's the act of being dishonest while saying things that are actually strictly true. We all do it. We've all probably, you know, we've done it at some point in our lives, whether we realize it or not. But it turns out that from a trust standpoint, that paltering, it's actually worse than just telling a plain old lie. Is that right, Brad? And tell us a little bit about the role that intention plays.
Yeah, for sure. So it's interesting. I think I've mentioned this before on the podcast, but I'm a linguist by training. And that's what my doctorate is in, which means that you really study how communication works and different aspects of it. And as children, like you said, you know, lying is something that you're taught not to do. But then you learn, like, you don't actually say that your grandma looks really fat today because it makes her feel bad. And so you learn about little white lies and stuff, like children are over honest. And so as you grow, you learn that, like, sometimes you can be expedient with the truth. And so there's white lies, there's lies of omission versus, like, strict mistruths. Now, this term paltering, it's interesting. I had never heard of it until we looked it up, but I did know that you can lie while telling the truth. And that is what lawyers do a lot. That's what politicians do a lot. It's the art of implying something without ever actually saying anything that could hold you legally accountable, right? So let's just make a distinction here, right? Truth is something that is verifiably correct in the outside world. Sonika is married. True, false. Well, you got a husband named Mike, you're married. It's true, right? But we can verify it, you know, age, height, those, how fast you can run, how much money you have in the bank, right? Is it raining out? Those are truth functional, yes or no. And so if I tell you that I did my homework and I didn't do my homework, that's a lie. Right. Now, what gets interesting is when I don't tell you a complete lie, but when my intention is to deceive you. And that's what paltering is. And that's where truth is different from honesty. I can try and communicate correctly, but be mistaken and say, like, oh, I think it's the second turn on the road down there. Right. I'm not lying if I'm being honest and trying to help you. But if it turns out it's the third left, I've given you the wrong information. If I tell you it's the second left on purpose because I want you to get lost, then that's being dishonest and untruthful. But I can be truthful and dishonest. And it goes something like this. We're driving down the road and we come to a toll booth and you say, shoot, Brad, it's a dollar. I don't have a dollar. Do you have a dollar? And I have $5 in my pocket. And I say, no, I don't have a dollar. Because I have $5, not $1. We all recognize that as some kind of dishonest interaction, but I haven't actually told a mistruth. What I've done is deliberately misunderstood what it is you're looking for. That's paltering.
Oh my gosh, deliberately misunderstood.
Right.
That's crazy.
It's crazy, right? And so the reason that this is interesting is it's sort of people do it because we think they do it because they feel a little better about it. Well, I'm not really lying, but also because you legally can't be held accountable. I didn't lie. I didn't tell her that I didn't have $5. I just told her I didn't have $1.
So would you say then it's for yourself? Like, do people palter to make just themselves feel better? Or is there another like outcome that arises from paltering?
It's manipulative. And that's why it's actually, you lose more trust in telling a partial truth to disguise mm-hmm. the full truth than you do in just telling a lie.
Right.
Because then people stop being able to trust you at all, because even if what you said is verifiably true, they're wondering where the rest of the story is, right? So, for example, Harvard Business Review did a study that most executives admit that they palter in negotiations. They tell partial truths. They will tell you the state of the company, but they will leave out some of the ugly parts, right? Or they will tell you their own personal history, but they will leave out some of the bits that don't reflect well on them. Mm-hmm. That they do it constantly in negotiations and think it's fine, and they don't think it's lying. But the person on the other end of that receiving it feels very much like it's lying. And that's where, you know, when Bill Clinton was like, I did not have sexual, you know, I am not in a sexual relationship with this woman because it ended 2 months ago or something like that. Whatever he said, and I can't remember exactly what it was, that destroyed his credibility more than anything else, because he started arguing about what the meaning of the word is. And there's nothing more lawyerly than doing that. And I mean that in the bad way, right? Like when people talk about lawyering, like focusing on minute details, this is what they're talking about. The problem is pharma has a big problem with this.
Yes, I think we can all identify some palters in our lives. But I think in the work that we do with pharmaceutical marketing and healthcare marketing, pharma, it's kind of a mess. I feel like a lot of people think that pharma companies halter all day, every day, and they shouldn't be trusted. Is that fair?
I think it's fair. And I think it's interesting that, you know, for example, every year when they do like who's most trusted, like pharma's way mm-hmm. at the bottom. And many years they're less trusted than the tobacco companies, which is crazy to me, because tobacco sells cancer and we sell cure.
Yeah.
But the problem is, we consistently, routinely tell part of the story. I mean, that's what marketing is, right? A boss of mine once said, our job is to turn the apple so the bruise is in the back. Well, people want to see the whole apple. They're buying the whole apple, right? So they want to see the whole apple. So, you know, I think there was that quote from a doctor that we interviewed not long ago during pandemic, where he said, you know, I assume you guys tell the truth. Like you have to, you're legally obligated to tell the truth. And he's right, right? I don't worry about that. And then he went on to say, but what I assume you don't do is tell me everything I need to know, because you hide the bad parts. So that's why I always go to the association website to get the full truth. They'll give me the pluses and minuses of this drug in a more holistic way. I can't totally disagree with him on that one. I don't know that it's in our best interest as advertisers to tell the worst parts, but I also know that if you consistently hide negative information, people just start assuming that there's more to the story than what you're saying. And as an industry, I think that's true. Now, I have a doctorate in linguistics. I had never heard the word paltering, right? So it's not like I know every word in the dictionary, but you would assume that I would have heard of it. I don't think people walk around going, pharma's a bunch of palterers, right? But I do think they think pharma are liars. There's two parts to that. One is people who just disbelieve the data. That we can't do much about, right? That's a systemic issue. But the other one is they believe the data, they just don't believe it's sufficient to hear those data. There's missing elements to the story. You told me you don't have a dollar because you have $5. Now I need to dig even deeper and really start pinning you down. It's like, well, what do you have, right? See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I think it's a problem, a systemic problem for us.
Don't you think it's also interesting how like, in commercials and in advertising, like print ads, you know, we have our campaign or the brand benefit or a slogan or whatever it may be, all of these great qualities of a treatment. And then the ISI is basically like all everything else. And it's just, it's like when you think about an advertisement on TV, the whole commercial is going, and then at the end, it's really quickly like, oh, you might like die from a heart attack. You know what I mean? And I think that people always bring that up when they hear of like the work that I do. They're like, oh, like pharma ads where, you know, you're promising the world and then you're saying that you might die. And like you say that very quickly and quietly and at the very end. And I don't know, I think that that also feeds into the perception, because you're kind of, you're telling the truth, but then the way that you're doing it is in a way to like deceive.
What's really interesting about ads, pharma ads that have the sort of mandatory fair balance, right? Mm-hmm. That concept even of fair balance is basically this idea that you're going to balance the good with the bad. Right. You can almost look at pharmaceutical ads on TV as a two-sided palter. The first part of it is where pharma gets to tell their version of the truth without the bad part. And then the second part of it is all the bad part with none of the good part to negate the first part. And so these ads are almost in competition with themselves. And it's got to do with how the FDA feels about the ads. And you know, I think there's a lot of analyses we could go into that. But if you think of most pharma ads on television as a two-sided palter, where it's almost like watching lawyers. Again, like one side tells you the best part, one side tells you the worst part, and then you're supposed to figure out where the truth is, somewhere in the middle. I don't think people have a good mechanism for doing that. I don't think people know how to square the idea that I'm going to have a happy life on a beach with I might, you know, have a heart attack if I take this drug. But that's the idea, right? That these two sides sort of compete for your attention, and the final sort of analysis is yours. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. And another thing that I think is interesting, we think about lying and paltering and pharma, is this idea of authenticity. So I think that this form of lying does influence perceptions of authenticity. How can you come off as authentic if you are paltering, or if people know that you're kind of telling, you know, lies to mislead some, or telling the truth, but in order to mislead someone? I mean, I just think that in pharma, in the work that we do, we try so hard to connect with our audience and to come off as authentic and genuine and all of that. But at the end of the day, I think that we're starting out sort of at a disadvantage because of the paltering reputation.
I think so. And I want to be, you know, I want to be clear. I think people think pharma lies. I don't mm-hmm. think most people can break down what we just did about like there's a difference between truth and honesty and intention and verifiable, mm-hmm. like truth functional stuff. Right. Like that part, I think, is sort of a level of sophistication of analysis that people don't have the vocabulary for. But I think intuitively, we know how this works. We know when somebody is just telling us a partial truth. And one of the things we've done a big study of authenticity, maybe we'll talk about it one of these days. But one of the things that kills a perception of authenticity is the idea that the person who is sponsoring whatever it is, the event you're going to or the book you're reading or whatever, if they're seen as a liar, it can't be authentic. And so it's very hard for a pharma ad to be perceived as authentic, even though these days you can't turn around without somebody saying like, we need to be authentic. We need to have authentic patients with authentic experiences, create authentic emotions. Mm-hmm. It's not impossible, but it's a hurdle for us. Like it's hard for someone who's considered to be fundamentally dishonest to be seen as authentic. And that's a challenge. And I think putting those two things together is hard. You know, I know we like to, at the end of the episode, sort of like wrap up with, like, what are our recommendations to go around this? The first one is like, just be transparent, you know, like the more you try and hide something, the more when it comes out, you will be seen as somebody who was fundamentally obstructionist to the truth, right? Mm-hmm. I think co-creating with doctors and with patients, just like making sure that things come off as genuine, right? We're genuinely trying to help people when we, for example, advertise a vaccine. I feel good about that. I feel like vaccines are possibly the greatest advance in human health ever. I feel good when we tell people to go get vaccines, but people don't trust us. And so we have to work on that, you know, and they don't trust us because we don't necessarily act in an honest way all the time, right? And I think we have to be honest about that with ourselves, that our commercial interests clash in the minds of the public with our healthcare interests, with our public good interests. Mm-hmm. Now, that tension exists in universities, it exists in really anything, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, yeah. But for some reason, healthcare is seen as different. It's seen sort of like an important remit for society. I think we have to acknowledge that we have to be much more careful about the truth and much more careful about our intentionality. Nobody is saying we shouldn't have a profit motive. Every time it comes up for for vote in America, the single payer stuff gets destroyed. Everybody thinks that America should be a for-profit system. That's fine. But then when you act in a for-profit way and sort of do the things that for-profit companies do by sort of showing the best side of yourself, you get held accountable. So there's a bit of a catch-22 there, but I do think we can do a better job of our relationship with the honesty.
Yeah, I love that. So, okay, so be transparent, get ahead of things, you know, before they happen. I think pharma has made good strides in that area in the last, 5 to 10 years. I like what you said about co-creation. That's important, actually working with doctors and patients and those who we serve to, like, not only create good material, but also help bridge and build a trust and build meaningful relationships. And then I think you said, like, acknowledging wrongdoing. So just, again, like, kind of like getting ahead of it, but don't be in denial. Like, say what
yeah.
it is.
Yeah, it makes it sound like evildoers in a comic book, right? But I just mean, like, there have been historical incidents
yeah.
where people have hidden data, where yeah. we have to acknowledge that and go, like, yeah. look, this is, I don't know how you rebuild trust in that situation. But anyway,
yeah
okay. it's interesting, right? Like, lots of ways to tell an untruth.
Yeah. I never heard of paltering either, but okay, cool. Well, thanks, Brad. This was interesting.
Well, thank you, Sonika. I'm Brad Davidson.
And I'm Sonika Garcia. Thanks so much for listening.
Thank you very much. See you next time.
Breaking the Code is a podcast by Havas Health and You's Medical Anthropology Department. Created and produced by Brad Davidson, Sonika Garcia. Content editing done by Catherine Rossi. Post-production audio editing done by Gabriel Allen Cummings. And inspiration by all of you. Thanks for listening and your continued support. If you enjoy these episodes, we would love to hear from you. Please leave a rating and subscribe. Until next time.